message from the screen is back. Presenting these facts with a little opinion laid on top of that. And in August on the Freedom Train Network, we talking mental health because it needs work. Everybody ready to move whenever their body hurt. But when their mind is broken, they don't even drink. I guess it's crazy to make sure that you're not. And that's why we talking about this here right now. And I.
Welcome back to another episode of Lessons from the Screen. Right here where we give you a preview, review, whatever, synopsis. We break down the information that you can get from any particular screen of any particular kind so that you don't have to waste your time. And we let you know what it is and what it's good for from our perspective. You're welcome. So we know that we've been gone for a while and we're back. There were things that were happening in life and, you know, we had to take a step and make sure that everything was squared away, but now we're back. So, thank you for being patient. We are back with you, and it is still, as you heard from the change in the intro song, Mental Health Awareness Month here on the Freedom Train Network. And so today I decided I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm not going to give a research-laden whatever. I'm not going to talk about history. I'm not going to talk about necessarily mental health illnesses. I'm not going to review a documentary on mental health or anything like that. I'm going to tell a story. So this is going to be the first ever story time right here on Lessons from the Screen. And you already know Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PaxInc. Head on over www.pactsinc.org, paxinc.org. And you know the spiel on that. Check them out. Check out the Learning Center. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Become a member. Become a donor. Take a survey. Do what you can to support them so that they can do what they can to support you. And without further ado, I'm just going to jump right into this story. So, I'm taking my wife's car to get gas. Car needs gas, so I'm going to get gas. And I'm listening to the Fix Sports podcast, the sports show right here on the Freedom Train Network with our very own Joseph Ward, the man sneaking out of your mother's bedroom, as he says. And as I'm getting the gas and listening to the show and kind of in my own world, I hear a collision. Boom. And then I hear skidding on brakes. And then I hear another collision. Boom. And I'm looking at what's happening, but my brain isn't really processing what's happening. It processed the sound because the sound was loud enough to penetrate the headphones that I had on. And these were noise canceling headphones, although we all know that they aren't that great, that they tune everything out, but they do a substantial job, a pretty good job of deadening exterior noises, especially when you're listening to something through the headsets. But this was loud enough that it penetrated that in a very real way. So all of a sudden, you know, I hear these noises and my eyes, which are already in that direction and are already watching what's going on, kind of zero in on what's happening or what has happened. And it's almost like everything played over again in my mind. And I'm realizing what just happened after it's happened because this thing is playing over again in my mind. And I'm realizing that a young man was just hit by a truck. Now, he was trying to cross the street. The light was green. He was trying to maneuver his way through the streets. Couldn't have been no more than 16 years old, a teenage kid. And he had made it through, almost through traffic on the one side, coming up to the median in the middle of the road. And he got hit, entering the turning lane, by a truck. Not an 18-wheeler. It was a Ford Super Duty truck. But it hit him really good. It hit him, bang. And then it skidded on brakes. That was the first boom I heard. Bang. And then it skidded on brakes. That was the skrr. But then there was a subtle boop. Because the kid was hit with such force that he went flying through the air. And the truck was moving with such speed that even though the driver tried to brake, the truck still made contact with the kid again. And I saw the kid on the ground. It looked like one of his arms got dragged under the truck, and he just skidded along the road. I mean, and it was pretty violent, and he slid, I want to say he slid probably about 3 or 4 feet across the road, just slid after he was hit, and he wasn't moving. He was laying down, face down, not moving. And so as I realized what happened, I immediately started trying to call 911, but I'm having issues because the fucking podcast app that I'm using to listen to the fix won't shut down and it won't let me dial the number. So eventually I end up just homing the screen, closing everything out, opening everything back up, and then dialing 911. Well, not closing everything out and opening everything back up, but you know how you hit the home button and then you can hit the well, for those of us that have Androids, we can hit the home button and then we can hit the little 3-line button that makes everything that you have working on open up. And so I hit close all and it closed all of the apps I had running. And then I hit the phone button, dial 911 as I'm running over to the kid to see if he's okay. Now, this is where things really began to be frustrating for me, as if it wasn't frustrating already watching a kid get hit by a truck. So as I'm running across the street, and, you know, maybe this is my fault as well, but, you know, I almost got hit running across the street to get to the kid because I was on the far side of the road. So I had to cut across a lane of traffic, or I had to cut across 2 lanes of traffic to get to the side of the road on the other side of the median where the kid had been hit. And there was a light like within 15 feet of where everything happened, but the light was still green. So I run out there. I almost get hit. I've got 911 on the phone. The phone's ringing. And I get to the kid and he's still not moving. Like, he's just not moving. And so I'm concerned with the kid. And then I realize that traffic is still moving. There's a kid laid out in the middle of the road and cars are literally swerving around, but not slowing down, not stopping. Like, they're still driving through the road. So now I just almost got hit running to the kid. I'm on the phone with 911 and I'm concerned that I might get hit standing here with the kid. And judging by how people didn't seem to care that there was a body in the street, I'm kind of thinking to myself, well, if somebody hits me, there'll be 2 bodies in the street. And then we're both going to be fucked. Because there were people on the other side of the road that saw it happen that didn't run out. They just kind of kept walking. One of them kept walking. The other ones just were looking from the side of the road. Cars were going around while the driver who had hit the kid had stopped moving or had stopped his car and gotten out. I really don't know what was going on because that person was kind of in their own space, if you will. They might have been in shock. They might have had a couple other things going on with them mentally, but for the most part, they were in their own space. So I'm talking to 911 and I'm trying to see if the kid is even still alive. And the kid starts moving as I'm really getting a good look at the situation. And so that's comforting because the kid is moving. So I'm talking, but at the same time, you don't want the kid to move too much because I've seen CSI and I've seen the other movies. You know, when something like that happens, I've seen the shows and, you know, I've been through the first aid courses and all of that. When something like that happens, you don't want to move a person because you don't know what sort of injuries they might have, and moving them might make the injuries worse. So there wasn't any way for me to like stabilize him or anything like that out in the middle of the street. So, you know, was happy to see that he was alive, but at the same time, trying to stop him from moving because he wanted to move. And I do think he was in shock because he was trying to get up. So throughout all it, as all of this is going on, cars are still fucking whipping around us. Still fucking whipping around us. And I'm on the phone with 911, and the lady on the line is asking me, "Sir, what just happened?" And so I tell her, "A kid just got hit by a car." "Okay, sir, what kind of car was it?" It was a truck." "Okay, sir, how old is the kid?" "Old enough that he got hit by a car. I don't know how old the kid is." So she's like, "Well, how old do you think he is?" "I think he needs a paramedic. I don't really care how old he is right now. He got hit by a car." So she's like, "Well, sir, you can guesstimate." So I said, "Okay, I don't know. He's no more than, he's like 15, 16 years old." So she's like, "Well, okay, did the car stop?" And at this point, I'm like, "Okay, have you dispatched the ambulance? Like, have you done that yet?" And so she's like, "Don't worry, sir. Did the car stop? Did you dispatch the ambulance?" "Yes, sir. The ambulance is on the way." "Okay. Yes, the car stopped." Now, and my frustration with that was building, not only because there were cars still whipping around me and I was concerned, but it was also with the fact that she was asking me all of these questions and hadn't communicated to me that paramedics had been dispatched. So I'm sitting here thinking, like, have you dispatched anybody? You're asking me all of these stupid ass questions. Not that they're stupid in that I don't understand that you need this information, but they're stupid in that I called you because somebody has got hit by a car. If you haven't dispatched the ambulance while you're collecting all this data, then we have a separate issue now, because that's time that's been wasted. But in that, as I'm over there with the kid, who's still trying to get up and, you know, telling them don't move, not only are cars whipping around, but they're honking, telling us to get out of the road, telling us we need to move, calling us names, yelling and screaming out of the windows as they're honking their horns. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, this kid has been hit by a car. I don't know who they think plays hide and seek or takes naps in the middle of the road. I've never seen that before in my life, but apparently this is a regular occurrence, because these people think that there's nothing strange about a kid laying face down in the street and a man standing over him. So finally, a sister pulls up, not his sister, a sister, as in a black woman. And she uses her car to shield us from traffic. And she gets out. And then there are a couple of other people that finally start to gather around. And we're all kind of trying to keep the kid from moving. And then all of a sudden, the kid just starts bawling. And it's one of the saddest cries you'll ever hear in your life. I mean, the kid is bawling like he wants his mom, and he just found out that she's passed away. Like, he was bawling. And as he turned over, because that was the other concern, because it had started raining. And so it started raining hard, to the point where there were puddles in the road. And that's where I knew it was getting kind of serious, because the puddles around him were reddish, meaning that there was a lot of blood coming off of him. And I didn't really notice. So I was at that point facing a conundrum, because I wasn't sure, because I knew we needed him to turn over so that we wouldn't have any issues with him being in the water, because it was raining just that hard. But also there was the issue that I spoke of earlier of not wanting to move him in that situation, because you don't want to make the situations worse. Well, fortunately for us, when he started crying, he turned over. And so at that point, it was kind of like, oh my God, don't move. But at the same time, you know, he kind of solved the problem by turning over. But that's when the crying started. And he was bawling. He was literally just bawling out of control. And you know, it's totally understandable. But then something else happened that really got under my skin. I heard two people, two grown adults, tell this kid who had just gotten hit by a truck to man up, shake it off. It's not that bad. Now, granted, this was a black kid. And these were black people who said this. Man up, shake it off, is not that bad. The kid had just gotten hit by a truck. And that was our response to him. Man up, shake it off, is not that bad. The kid is bawling, there's blood all over his face. Looks like he's got red paint on. You can see the scratches and burns in his shoulders and his arms. You can see where it looked like maybe some gravel had gotten under the skin and rolled up under it. Like he was in bad shape, as you would expect from somebody who's just been hit by a truck. And just when I thought it couldn't get any worse in terms of the cars buzzing around us, telling us to get out of the road, and as far as the people standing around, two of them saying, telling the young man that it wasn't that bad and to shake it off and to man up. There was the driver who kept saying, I had the right of way. And again, he may have been in shock, I'm sure, I don't know, but here's the issue. This kid just got hit by a truck. Nobody really gives a damn about whether or not you had the right of way in that moment. Well, that's stuff to discuss later. That's not anything we care about right now. So there was that. And then there were a number of people who walked up and said, do you think I should stay? Are you going to stay so I can leave? It's raining. I'm getting wet. I need to get out of here. There's a kid. I don't know if you guys have been following the story or not, but there's a kid who just got hit by a truck, laying in the street, bleeding, crying, because he just got hit by a fucking truck. And it seems to be the least concerning thing on everyone's mind at that moment. Everyone seemed to be so wrapped up in what they had going on that nobody seemed to be giving much concern to this kid who just got hit by a truck. And so the sister pulls out an umbrella and a jacket, and she covers the kid up. I didn't have anything with me to cover the kid up, and I wasn't concerned about it. I got drenched. And then the police show up. And instead of taking statements, they're taking names and numbers because they don't want to be standing out in the rain. A kid just got hit by a truck, and you don't want to take my statement when it's fresh in my mind because it's raining, and you don't want to get wet, and you don't want other people to have to get wet. So I give them my name, my number. Never heard from them. Nobody ever called me to get my statement. I tried looking up to see what happened with the kid. I don't know, because I couldn't find anything. Apparently, that same day, there was a one-year-old that got hit by a car. and that was center news. You know, as you know, it should, that's pretty significant. Anybody getting hit by a car, but especially a one-year-old child, that's pretty significant. But I couldn't find any information about the kid. I didn't know his name. I didn't know where he lived. I didn't know where he was coming from. I didn't know where he was going. And when I tried to Google it, that story of the one-year-old was all over the news. So following up that story, I had some real issues because the way that kid was screaming, crying, the look of his face when he first rolled over, the blood, all of that. Like, I already felt like I had PTSD from being in the military and from experiencing even some of the things that I experienced prior to going into the military. And I'm not trying to make it out that the military was anything where I went to a war zone. No, I was traumatized in the military by dealing with racist white people. Growing up, I had experienced racism in the South. But joining the military was a whole new experience for me because you got to really firsthand, for me anyways, firsthand experience of the culture that wasn't as hidden as it is in normal society. In the military, it's a lot more blatant. And they really don't give a damn because they control everything there, especially. Not like they don't control anything in the world, but. So I had PTSD from my experiences growing up with white people, joining the military and dealing with those white people, those brave white people, I think made it worse. But then now, not only am I having flashbacks of all of those other incidents, but now I'm also traumatized, not only by what I witnessed with this kid, but also by the sheer disregard that everyone seemed to have for this kid's life. And so when we talk about mental health awareness, mental health, especially in the black community, because this was a black kid surrounded by black people, the driver was white. Why are we not as connected as we claim to be? Why are we so selfish? Why are we so inconsiderate? Why are we so unmoved? Why are we so apathetic? The only good thing I can say that happened outside of the sister doing what she did, it's the fact that nobody pulled their cell phones out. And given the way I was feeling, if somebody had pulled their cell phones out, I probably would have been arrested. Because that would have been a fight. Like, I've never really been one to stand by and tolerate cell phone videos and all that other stuff, videoing traumatic incidents. I'd have punched somebody in their shit if they had pulled out a phone. But it doesn't change the fact that the rugged individualism, the narcissistic personality traits, the self-serving perspectives of the world, a lot of the character traits that we carry forward with us, not only are they not helpful or healthy to us as individuals, but they're not helpful or healthy to us as a community either. And this for me is a part of mental health awareness, because there's got to be something wrong with your mental health to see a kid laid out like that and to respond with the level of apathy and nonchalantness, and in some cases, anger at the inconvenience of somebody that, how dare they be knocked out in the middle of the street when I'm trying to get somewhere? Like, that, there is something wrong mentally. There's a lack of apathy, or there's a lack of empathy. I'm sorry, there's an abundance of apathy. There's a lack of empathy, a lack of concern, a lack of connectiveness. And we have got to do something about it, something more than just talking about how we need to connect economically. Because the economic connections happen when there's real social, cultural, and emotional connections. And the economic connections don't create those other connections. Those other connections create the economic connection. Especially when you're talking about group economics and cultural uplifting, communal uplifting. So I wanted to share that story because it's really been bothering me since it happened. We like to operate from the standpoint or from the framework of believing that humans are inherently good. And as I look around, not just in my life, but at what's happening in general, I think that's something we need to reevaluate. Are humans inherently good? I think we point at far too many instances of individuals doing good things. And we far too often ignore all of the massive examples of massive groups of people doing bad things. And just like everything else, until we face the fact that we are not good, we have the capacity to be good, but until we face the fact that we are not living up to that capacity, there's never going to be any major change. Humans, for all of our technology, for all of our advancements, are still animal species bent on the survival of our groups. And our groups are largely defined by culturality, and physicality. Who looks like me and who perceives the world as I do. Everybody else is different. And everybody else can go to hell. And we as a community have started looking at ourselves the same way everybody else looks at us. And that's why a lot of the things we do don't necessarily pan out the way we want them to. And so I'm not trying to turn this into no long lecture or nothing like that. But it's something that's been bothering me, and it's something that I hope will bother you as you listen to it. We need to be more connected to each other than that. I know in the social media culture and the video culture, it's easy to get numb to things. Getting numb to videos is one thing. Nobody should be numb to real life. When something like that happens, you've got to have a real mental illness not to be moved into action. And that's something that needs to be addressed by people that are more qualified to handle these types of discussions than I am. So with that being said, I do want you to think about you as an individual and your impact on society. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it neutral? And I would argue that if it's neutral, it's bad. If it's bad, it's bad. If your mark on society is anything other than beneficial, if the world is not better because you're in it, then I think you need to reevaluate your goals and your perspectives. It can't be all about me, me, me. It's got to be something bigger than that. And as a community, I feel like we've lost sight of that. And if that's not a mental health issue, if that's not a cultural issue, even if it regardless of how you want to spin it, it's something that needs to be addressed. I do think it's a mental health issue, but I think it's a bunch of other issues mixed in with that as well. But at its core, culture, its perspective, its behaviors, it's all of those other things that we know culture to be. I don't have to get into a whole thing about what culture is. But I do know that a culture can normalize negative mental states of being. And just because your culture has normalized mental illness doesn't mean that mental illness has now become healthy. And we live in a society and in a culture that is increasingly normalizing mental illness. And we need to do something about it. Instead of treating mental illnesses, instead of making people understand that they need to get treatment for their mental illness, we try to normalize negative personality traits, narcissistic personality disorder being one that we talked about on the Freedom Train podcast series. We got to do better, man. That story moved me. And I hope it moves you too. And I hope it makes you think about things. I'll see you next week.